Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Amen, amen. So thankful. So thankful for the cross. You guys can't see from here, but I can see all the faces that are in this room. And something that blesses me is all the different generations that are represented here right now. And I gotta say this, is that God never intended for us to do church alone. He never intended us to be segregated and have generations split apart. He intended us to be the body of Christ, a whole united family. And to see everyone here today is such a blessing because there's power in that. There is so much power in the unity of generations coming together. And I think about how us as an older generation can look at a younger generation and think that we can't relate, but we can relate to them. And the Bible says that how will they know unless we tell them? And I think about how it's our responsibility to make sure that the church is alive and powerful and living and active. When we end up going to heaven, that there is a generation following us that is on fire and ready to make sure that God's purposes prevail here on the earth. And so to see us together, I know that Jesus is looking down and is so thrilled and so proud that we can come together and worship God like we were intended to worship him together. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You know, seeing all these young faces in here, my wife and I have given the last 12 years of our life here in this church to loving and pastoring and caring for these young people. We're so, so proud. Church, you should be so proud of your young people. Come on, give them a hand. They're so passionate. They're so gifted. And thank God they have a place here to express themselves. Amen. I'm excited to share with you tonight. What an amazing weekend we're going to have. God of miracles. Just let me see your hand if you have experienced a miracle in your life. Come on, if you've experienced a miracle. Amen. Amen. Look at all these hands. You know, a miracle is defined as an extraordinary event in the physical world. Think about that. An extraordinary person, spirit, a being, God himself, does something in this world. You and I, on a daily basis, every day, God is doing miracles in our life, and he's continuing to do miracles. We're excited about this, not just this weekend, but this season of miracles, the God of miracles. And so tonight, as we just observe a Good Friday, I'd love to share with you the miracle of Good Friday. The miracle of Good Friday. Matthew 27, verses 45 through 53 reads this. It says, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." You know, before the miracle of resurrection, before chocolate bunnies, and before family barbecues, before God knows how the tacos with the green salsa, not the red, with the green. Before churches filled all across America celebrating the resurrection, before all of that, there was a Good Friday. And I'm not sure who labeled it good. Because you know, at first glance, if you read the scripture, you see that Good Friday was a dark day. It was dark. There was chaos. There was commotion. There was controversy. There was corruption. There was all this surrounding a man who loved his community, who served his community, who gave his life for the people. He went around teaching and doing good and healing and loving. Some called this man teacher. Some called him rabbi. Some called him prophet. Some even called him the Son of God. And that led him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And it was there Pontius Pilate said, Are you really the Son of God? Do you really think you're the King of the Jews? And Jesus just plainly said, what do you think? Who am I to you? Pilate had no choice. He turned him over to the angry mob. And here it is, Good Friday. Jesus gets accused, sentenced to murder, publicly humiliated, beaten. You know those images in your mind of Christ's Good Friday. And there he is, just the most painful thing that anybody could ever physically go through, and we call it Good Friday. Jesus gets sentenced to a cross, and he hangs there, and he's betrayed, and his friends, his 12 homies are not around. His all the people that he loved and served, they've turned on him, and Jesus hangs on this cross, and it was a dark, dark moment. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that Jesus on the cross began to take the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, on him. And listen to this. And that caused God, his Father, to turn away. That sounds like a dark day. Sin caused God to turn away. Why is it that sin has a way of separating us from God? The prophet Isaiah said this, Isaiah 59, he says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Even from the beginning of time, the Bible says that Adam used to walk with God in the cool of the garden. And when he and Eve sinned, what do? They hid. I think if we're honest tonight, I think it's safe to say most, if not all of us in this room, when we are not right, when we have done something wrong, there's this automatic separation that you and I, we experience. There's an automatic, I'm not going to go near the house of God. I'm not going to go near the presence of God. There's a separation. There's a distance. And there are days, even when I come in this office, I don't know why, but I can't look Pastor David in the eye. It's like, I know God told him that I messed up. I know that he knows. And he's like, Albert, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. Like, it's natural. The truth is Pastor doesn't know. Well, he does now, but he doesn't know. God knows. And I know. And sometimes that gets so heavy on you and I, it just separates us and it causes us to pull back. It causes us to separate. It causes us to become dark. Jesus feels distant from his Father, and probably a greater pain than anything that he just physically endured, the separation. And in his own words, he says, my God. Notice he doesn't call him Father anymore. He says, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt forsaken? Have you ever just felt so distant, so betrayed, so lost, so hurt, so confused, that you just want to give up? Let me tell you something. There was a miracle on Good Friday. And because of this miracle, we don't ever have to feel forsaken again. Let me say that again. Because of the miracle of Good Friday, you and I no longer will be forsaken. Can we show this video?
The word miracle is, I mean, it's something that cannot be explained. Something's typically supernatural.
It's not something that a human could do. It's only something that's out of our power that could happen.
Once you run out of options, somehow, some way, an option opens up for you.
To actually think that Jesus died on the cross and resurrect 3 days later. God placed him there to do that for us.
He made the decision that it was what he had to do, and he was scared and he didn't want to do it, and he still just said, well, I have to, it's my purpose.
He did it so selflessly for us so that we may have a good rest of the life.
He didn't have to like keep us here, you know. He still chose to just give up his son for our lives so we could live.
That event changed everything from then on, and we are still living in the blessing of that.
In flashes of brilliance, moments of wonder and awe, miracles, we come into contact with the glory of God. Healing, wholeness, hope, restoration, all hinge on the very motive of love. And it's that motive which drove Jesus to give his life in our place. And in the moment of his death, we find our position not just as onlookers or spectators, but at the heart of his sacrifice. It's our sin, our pain, and our sickness, which were all laid on that cross just as he was. And those things stayed there because Jesus displayed the greatest miracle in being raised from the grave. Now, his kingdom is still beaming out as his love reaches out to us in the simplest and wildest of miracles.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, give that. We serve a God of miracles. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Aren't you grateful for the cross? Aren't you grateful that there was a price that was paid for you and I, that we could be the righteousness to be accepted for God? Aren't you grateful that there was a great exchange? The exchange was this: Jesus was punished so that we could be forgiven. Jesus became sin so that we could be righteous. Jesus bore our shame so we could gain God's approval. Jesus took our sickness so that we could be healed. Jesus became poor so that we could be rich. He became a curse so that we could be set free. Jesus was rejected so that you and I could be accepted. This is why we call it the Good Friday, because there was an exchange for our sins, and now you and I have the miracle of freedom. We get to walk in freedom. We get to walk free, set free from the curse of sin. I want to share with you four miracles that happened on Good Friday according to our scripture in Matthew 27. Four miracles. The first miracle was this. The sky darkened. For 3 hours, Luke tells us that the whole earth went dark. The whole earth went dark. And maybe some skeptics believe that there was an eclipse or maybe a cloud. But according to Luke, he says the sun went dark. Dark. Could you just imagine living your life where it's just dark, chaos, no lights, no sun, no stars, no moon, just total darkness. A second miracle that happened on Good Friday was this. A veil was torn. 60 feet tall, 4 inches thick, this veil that was designed to separate in the worship, in the court, the worship temple. There was three departments, three sections, and in the first section, you and I could go and experience church. But in the second section was just the priest. Only the priest could get into this. And the third was just the Holy of Holies. Just the high priest could be able to enter. And that's where the presence of God would reside. And that veil tells us this, that you can get closer to God. It tells us this is where you stop. You are not worthy and you can't go any further. The third miracle on Good Friday was this. The earth shook. The earth began to shake. And geologists have found that this earth shook for miles and miles away from Calvary. And nothing was damaged. Rocks were split, but there was no deaths recorded. There was no damage to anything. It was just a miracle of shaking. And the fourth miracle, the greatest miracle on Good Friday on that cross was this, the miracle of reconciliation. The miracle of reconciliation. This is where it all lands right here. Jesus went to that cross to do one thing, is to reconcile you and I to God. Peter says it best. He says in Peter 3:18, he says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous man for the unrighteous man, for what? To bring you to God." This is the miracle of reconciliation. Somebody pays a price and then you and I get to have access to God. The word reconcile means this. It means to bring back into relationship. Relationship was destroyed, it was diminished, but reconciliation is to bring us back into relationship. Can I share with you a miracle that I experienced? December 1st, 2015, I get a call about 4 o'clock in the morning from the emergency department at Kaiser. A doctor calls me up and he says, "Your dad has suffered a major heart attack and I need you to come right away." And my first response was, is he alive? Is he okay? And the doctor says, it's not good. Just get here and call your family. And I get out of bed. I walk into the bathroom. And the first thing I did was I put my hands over my face and I began to cry. I began to weep. See, I had gotten into an argument with my dad 6 months earlier than that, and we had not talked for 6 months. We hadn't spoken 6 months. His pride and his stubbornness and my perfection caused us to not talk. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is this really how it's going to end? And it hurt. It began to hurt. But let me just share a little bit more about our relationship. My parents divorced when I was about 6 years old, and my brother, and it was an ugly divorce. There was a lot of abuse, physical abuse. There was drugs, alcohol in their marriage, and this marriage just ended very, very bad. And I chose to go stay with my mom, and my brother chose to go live with my dad. And my mom began to get into a relationship almost immediately after the divorce, and it happened to be with one of my dad's friends. So there was a lot of resentment from my dad. He resented my mom, of course, his former friend, and myself. And I went through my early childhood without a dad. I went through my teenage years without my dad, and I think this is what I think is worse than not having a dad. I would rather have not met my dad and he's just left and my mom was a single mom. I think that's better than having a dad that's around but not in your life. I would rather have not him watched him give attention and love and affection to my older brother and to my other cousins and family and just it reject me. And so I'm going through life and I'm just wanting my dad's approval. You know, the affirmation of a father is so powerful. And I began to play sports, and so I wanted to excel in sports, and I was a good baseball player, and I was the captain, and I was the star, and I just pushed myself further and further just so that hoping my dad would just show up at one of my games. And I would say, if my dad showed up, I would not embarrass him. He would be so proud, and I would look every single game. I would look in the stands, and I would not see my dad. You talk about an orphan's heart. I had orphan kidneys and orphan lungs, and I just wanted my dad to be proud of me. I just wanted the approval of my dad. And it hurt, and it began to shape me, and it began to mold me, and it began to really destroy my life. I began to resent my dad as I got older. Gave my life to Christ when I was 17 years old, and I had a problem with this lingo, this church lingo that we say is God the Father, Father God. And that's how we used to pray, Father God. And I had a problem with that. I could not. How can God be my father? My father is a low life. Wasn't in my life. And over the years, after giving my life to Christ, the healing began. Sometimes healing is a process. I began to heal, and I began to try to work through the issues with my dad, and it was hard. It was difficult. And I remember about 10 years ago, we had a men's conference over here at Mount Hermon. And the theme of the conference was finish strong, and we are champions, and everybody was like, and grunting, you know. And everybody was excited that we were men and we were going to finish strong, and everybody were excited. And I found myself at the altar all weekend just weeping and sobbing uncontrollably because God was talking to me about my dad. I was about 30 years old when this happened. I had just cut my dad out of my life. He didn't show up to my wedding. He wasn't there for my kids, anything. And I just cut him out. There I am, Mount Hermon. I'm weeping. I'm crying. And God is just asking me to forgive him. And I heard God say this, I love your dad more than you do. And I began to forgive him. And I began to just, at that altar, I began to reconcile with my dad. Conference is over. Saturday afternoon, I'm driving down the hill. And finally get phone reception. And I got a few messages, and I'm going through my messages as I'm driving. And there's a message from my dad. And he says, Albert, I'm sick and I need your help. If I had gotten that message 2 days earlier, I would have just deleted it. I was just so shocked. I remember that drive home. I was just so numb. I can't believe my dad called me. He needs help. He's sick. I didn't even know where he was at. I hadn't talked to him in years. I had no idea where he was at. So we made a decision. We began to care for my dad. We took him in. I remember changing his wounds. I remember taking him to his doctor's appointments. I remember all the ambulance rides. I remember all these things that I began to do. And God has began to working and changing my heart for my dad and changing my love for him. And it was only the miracle of God. It was only the miracle of reconciliation that caused me to have feelings for my dad again. There was nothing else, no counselor, not even a verse in the Bible could help me, but it was the power, it was the miracle of reconciliation. And now I'm close to my dad and I care for my dad and I help my dad. And there we are in this hospital. And I have these regrets and I made some mistakes and I let my pride and I let everything else, my anger towards him, just recapture me. And there he is and he's on support. He was had a heart attack and he was, they did CPR for 25 minutes. My dad is a sick old man. But somehow, some way, they just began to do CPR for 25 minutes. And so he lays there in ICU and they said he's got a 17% chance of waking up. And if he wakes up, there's less than 5% chance that he's going to be able to function normally. And I remember just saying, God, this is not how it's supposed to end. The doctor says, call your family. This is not going to be good. When you don't have oxygen to your brain for a long time, what they do is they cool your body for 24 hours and then they have to warm your body for 24 hours and then to see if there's any life. And that's what was happening. So we called our family. We said, come in. He laid there on machines. And we flew in my brother from Arizona. And we're just at this hospital for a couple days. And I'll never forget, we had a call. My brother and I took a break, and we went down to just take a shower and get some food. And I get a call from my aunt, Helen, and she said, you need to come. Your dad's awake. I said, you're kidding. He's not supposed to be awake. She said, you need to get down here. Your dad's awake. My brother and I rushed down to the hospital, and there my dad is. He's trying to pull these tubes out of his mouth. He looks over, and he's awake. He's alive. That's a miracle. He's awake, and he's alive. And we take out the tubes. Of course, he's so sore from the CPR. He's weak. He's very frail, but he begins to talk to us. Here's the miracle. He begins to talk to us as if nothing ever happened. He picks up conversation that he had before he had the heart attack with the doctors and everyone else. And this is what I did. I gave my brother and my dad just a moment to talk and to. See, they hadn't talked in 10 years. They had gotten into an argument over some dirty dishes. But there's always something underlying that. Dirty dishes, right? They hadn't talked for 10. What is it with these castanetas? They got into an argument. My brother jumps in a U-Haul truck and he moves his family to Arizona. He gets a call from me. Your dad is dying. You need to get on a plane. We get him down here. He comes and I just give them a moment. And I could see them from another room. There was laughter. There were tears. There was reconciliation, the miracle of reconciliation. Today, my dad and my brother have a relationship. Yeah. Man. So then I had a moment with my dad. Just he and I began to just tell him this. I said, Dad, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be alive. He really is a sick. He's got a lot of issues, and here he is, God. I said, God spared your life. Luke, could you come on up, Luke? I said, God has spared your life. I said, there's a reason for this. I said, God loves you so much that he's not going to just let you go just like that. My dad has chosen to live a life away from God. He's chosen to live a life of sin, and he's rejected God, and he's mad at God and all these things. And there he was right there. I said, Dad, God loves you no matter what. No matter what. He's for you, Dad. I said, would you pray this prayer with me? Would you pray and ask God to come and be the Lord of your life? And my dad reconciled to God. That's the miracle of the Good Friday. He reconciled with God. Jesus on the cross reconciled us to God. And when we're reconciled with God, these are the things that happen. When our sky is dark, the sun will rise again. When you're in a dark moment and you're in a dark place and there's just doubt and fear all around you, I assure you that the sun will come up. When we reconcile with God, the veil is torn. You and I, imperfect people, now have a new place, a new opportunity, a new room, a new chance to spend fellowship, to spend life with the living God. The veil is torn. There's no more separation. You're qualified. You're qualified. And when we're reconciled with God, something begins to shake. And what shakes off of us is our sins, our habits. And you no longer have to live with shame. You no longer have to live with guilt. You no longer have to live with depression. You no longer have to live with suicidal thoughts. It's coming off of you when we reconcile with God. You no longer have to live that life. God promises you a better life. We are reconciled with God. We are reconciled. Our relationships are renewed. Can I pray for you? Could you close your eyes and just bow your head? You know, tonight, if there's anyone here that says, relationship with God is, I just feel distant. I just feel separated. I feel disconnected. This is what the Good Friday is all about. It's very simple. Jesus went to that cross. He died for you so that you could feel connected. So you could feel connected. And if you're here tonight and you're saying, I don't feel connected, and I don't know if I'm loved, I don't know if I'm cared for, he wants to connect with you. It's free. All it takes is a confession. If that's you, I just love for you to raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else say, I want to be reconciled with the living God. Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your miracle power that reconciles us back to you. Father, you've seen the hands that went up. You've seen the hearts that were open to you. I pray you come right now and you would flood them and fill them and you'd change them. A new life that's desired, opportunity to live a new life. Father, give that right now. In Jesus' name, we receive you. We receive you. Amen. 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 We're going to dismiss with the song. But before we do that, we'd love to pray for any need that you might have tonight. Anything that you're going through. We have some young people that will be coming up here and praying for you and believing for your need. If you prayed that prayer, there's a few hands that went up. I'd love to talk with you further. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to encourage you on this faith journey that you're entering in. So if you want prayer, please come on up.
Stand together and sing. This song is going to be, we can stand together. We're going to sing, "You made a way for me to enter the holy place." And when we sing the part, we say, "I am yours, you are mine, and we'll be together forever." That's exactly what we're hearing right now. That's exactly what God wants for us. So let's sing this, God. We focus on you right now. And we say that you made a way for us, God. And we believe that. We receive it in Jesus' name, Lord. And God, we just accept your presence into our lives, God. Thank you, God.
You made a way for me to enter the holy place. You made a way for me to enter.
You are mine.
can't leave until we get that tonight. Yes, God.
Forever.
I can't do without you, Father.
I am yours. You are mine.
Forever.
And we'll be together forever.
Can I just pray with you guys? I just feel it on my heart to really pray for broken relationships and reconciliation in those relationships. And when he went to the cross, he died so that we can live and that our families could live too. And the enemy's whole desire is to break up our relationships and to break up that family and to try and cause conflict so that we don't truly live, because there's always this hurt inside of our heart. And God is saying, I want to heal those areas in your heart. I want to heal those hurts, your children, your fathers, your mothers, your siblings, your people that have hurt you. God wants to come in and heal those. And a lot of times forgiveness is the first step to healing. And reconciliation is the pathway to get the wholeness that God has wants us to live in. So I just want to pray for any person. Maybe you guys, as an act of just a prophetic act, if you have someone in your life right now that you know you need to reconcile with, if you can just raise your hand. If you can just raise your hand. God already knows. He already sees it. It hurts him to see the brokenness, but thank God for the cross and the miracle of that, of reconciliation. God, we thank you right now, Father. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord God, that you went to the cross for these very reasons, Lord God. You see the hurt, Lord God. You see the brokenness, Father. You see, Lord God, the lies of the enemy that come in and try and cause us to be broken and torn apart, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you cover every lie with your truth, Lord God. And we just thank you right now for the miracle of reconciliation, Father. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would begin, Lord God, to go deep within our hearts, Father God, and help us, Lord God, to begin the process of forgiveness, Lord God, to help us begin the process, Lord God, of allowing your love to flow through us, Lord God, the way you intended it to flow through us, Father. And I just pray right now for miracles and relationships, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you would make a way where there seems to be no way, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you would raise back up those dead relationships, Lord God, the marriages that are broken right now, Father God. We call them back, Lord God, into your perfect will, Lord God. Thank you that you have joined them together for a purpose, Lord God, and that no man can separate it, Lord God. So we just declare it right now in Jesus' name. And I just thank you right now for testimonies, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for giving a strategy and direction to know how to mend those relationships, Father. I thank you that we are not alone in this season, Lord God, but that you help us to make those right decisions. And so we just pray right now for your grace. We pray right now, Father God, for your wisdom. We pray right now for your guidance, Lord God. Lead us, guide us, direct us, Lord God, and help us to be restored in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. We hope to see you Sunday, 8:30, 10, 11:30. If you don't have a church, you don't have any plans, we'd love to have you. If this is your church, bring somebody. Bring somebody. Amen. You are dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our